What does the healthcare ruling mean for the insured?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and we'll start with the Supreme Court's decision on health care. It's being hailed as good news for people without health insurance, but more than 80% of Americans do have health insurance, and more than 55% of us get it through our employer. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports on what the ruling means for the insured.
If you work for a company with more than 50 employees, and that's most of us, your health care will likely be the same in 2014 as it is today.
The great majority of employers are going to continue to offer coverage commensurate to what they've had before or better.
Michael Thompson advises companies on health care at PricewaterhouseCoopers. I asked him how the court ruling would impact the cost to employees.
It will continue to evolve like it has been evolving.
Meaning you will keep paying more year after year for your company health plan, but no more than you would have paid without the Affordable Care Act. Now, if your company health plan costs more than 9.5% of your income, you have a choice, says Karen Politz at the Kaiser Family Foundation. You can buy one of the new, cheaper insurance plans created by the Affordable Care Act.
If you do that, then your employer can be subject to penalties.
Penalties for not providing employees with affordable health care. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Well, believe it or not, global markets are paying more attention to Brussels than to Washington this morning. There's a big EU summit going on there, and it appears leaders have come up with an agreement that may help ease the debt crisis, at least somewhat. The BBC's political correspondent Robin Brandt joins us from Brussels with the latest. Good morning.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, explain exactly what these leaders have agreed to when it comes to giving money to banks.
Well, what they've agreed on basically is a deal to deal with the immediate crisis which is affecting banks in Italy and Spain. Those countries believe that they are having to borrow at a rate that could cripple their economies, frankly, and is therefore damaging to the survival of the Eurozone itself. And so what has been agreed is that in acronym land, as it is here, Italians and Spanish can have access to money in the ESM and the EFSF. And that means that they will intervene, buy their bonds, hopefully push the cost of those bonds down, and so give some breathing space to those banks in Italy and Spain.
Well, what about the long-term situation? I mean, the big solution that we've heard about for months and months now is that they've got to form a tighter union. Has any progress been made on that front?
Well, yeah, I think there are two elements to that. There's a bigger bailout, effectively, for all the troubled banks, and we're not there yet. This is far more limited. But also, an Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, has talked about this. This is a fundamental point for her and others. They need to integrate further, move to a closer union in terms of banking, closer tax policies, because, of course, they share a currency, and then ultimately closer political union and moves towards closer federal states of Europe. So it's important that those in the currency move towards that because they want the euro to work. But that's kind of 10 years down the line.
The BBC's Robin Brandt joining us from Brussels. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are sharply higher in global trading this morning, 2% higher in Hong Kong and up 2.5% right now in Paris. Hawaii is saying aloha, as in hello, to more tourists. The state's tourism authority says 622,000 visitors flew in last month, which is a 12% increase over the same month last year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 24 points to close at 12,602.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
On Sunday, voters in Mexico will go to the polls to elect a new president. And a lot of U.S. companies that do business south of the border will be watching very closely to see what happens. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
At this plant near Mexico City, workers assemble cars for Ford. Next month, the company will crank out almost 10% more Ford Fiestas to meet rising demand, mostly from the U.S. Juan Santillan oversees production. He says changes on the domestic landscape could also benefit the company.
There's a lot of things that the government can still do in order to promote more investment.
Presidential candidate Enrique Peña Nieto, who is expected to win the election on Sunday, already has a relationship with the company. As state governor, he was here for the plant's inauguration. If elected, he's promised to cut the cost of electricity and invest in infrastructure. Santillan says those moves would help all foreign manufacturers in the area, not just Ford.
So the ideal is that this central part of Mexico gets developed so big that at the end all can benefit from it.
Candidate Peña Nieto has also promised reforms that would benefit American oil companies. Manuel Molano is with the Mexican Institute for Competitiveness, a think tank in Mexico City. He says the proposed changes would erode the monopoly now held by Mexico's national oil company called Pemex.
This would mean that more foreign companies could come and compete against Pemex in several aspects of the business.
Milano expects some business reforms no matter who wins the election.
Whatever the outcome is, there are good news for American businesses.
All the major candidates have promised to tackle corruption, and two have spoken of the need to reform outdated labor laws. Joy Langston is a political science professor at the Center for Research and Teaching in Economics. She says the government needs to make it easier for companies to fire people.
If somebody works at your office for a week and then leaves, you are legally obligated to pay them 3 months of salary. And so that leads to all sorts of fraud and all sorts of abuse.
As those workplace abuses decrease, Mexico becomes more attractive for American businesses. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally to a subway station in Brooklyn where one of the exits had a problem. The sixth step from the top is about half an inch taller than the rest. And it turns out that that half an inch was enough to cause just about everybody who walked up the stairs to trip. Well, a guy named Dean Peterson put together a video montage of the tripping that went viral online, and the Transit Authority has responded. According to the New York Times, the stairway should be fixed by tomorrow. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.